TJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Wake up, sleepyheads. This is TJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is TJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party every Tuesday from 6 to 7. My name is DJ Coco, and usually I'd be joined by DJ Star, as she is the co-host of the show as well, but she's off studying abroad in Germany right now, so it is me for the next couple episodes that I'll be playing some music and chatting a little bit. So today, kind of more on the chill side. I didn't do a super formal topic, kind of more on just reflecting on my very spiritual last week of Easter celebration. So thinking of just talking a bit about spirituality and Buddhism and kind of my experiences with it. So stay tuned for that. But I am going to start off with some music, as usual. So this first one, I have played some of Widowspeak before, but I haven't played this one from their album yet. So this one is called The Dream by Widowspeak from their album Expect the Best. So take a listen.
Place to be what everyone else. your future in energy
and science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I'm your host for this hour. The last song you just heard was called Orbital Alcatraz by Yocto, which is spelled Y-O-C-T-O in all capitals. Very interesting. It's from their album Zepta Supernova, so a little bit of art rock. Usually don't play a lot of art rock, but saw this one and decided to slap it into the catalog of music tonight. So hopefully you enjoyed that. I was thinking of just taking a little break from the music and chatting a bit. So today I kind of did some research at work and some of my free time, kind of going and exploring a little bit of spirituality and potentially thinking about religions that I may want to associate with or kind of think about the beliefs about, since I've been very interested in religion lately. Last weekend I think it was last weekend. I'm kind of losing track of my days, but it was during Easter weekend where I got to experience a couple of different religious activities. So I went to Vaisakhi, which itself isn't religious, but it was kind of more of spring harvest that celebrated the birth of Sikhism. That was very interesting. I had a big episode last week just kind of ranting, not ranting, but very excitedly talking about the food and the experience I had there. Beautiful day as well. And as well on Sunday that for Easter weekend, I got to go to a Christian church, kind of experience a different environment of Christianity, since I grew up Catholic. I grew up going to Catholic church. I didn't really associate being Catholic, but my father is Catholic, and so I would join along with him to the Catholic church. And it was very, very different compared to the Christian church. Well, I wouldn't say very, very, but I fully feel like my experience was very narrow of what Christianity was before, since Catholic church, it's a lot more textbook definition. There's gospel singing, standing up, sitting down, doing prayers, reading from the Bible. And then when I went to the Christian church, it was a CA church, some United church. And there was lots more singing, lots more energy and movement in the air. And the first thing I noticed was the band with the rock guitars when I walked in, which I did not expect since I've never experienced something like that. So it was a lot of very kind of young, a lot of young people there too, which was very interesting to experience. And I was thinking about maybe going to one of the events for young people and just kind of seeing where things go. But that's on one side. I am also just interested in religion as a whole, and not just Christianity, but I've been kind of dipping my toes in the water for Buddhism, which is something that my family, I was not brought up on. My grandparents are not Buddhists. I don't really know anyone who's Buddhist in my life, but it's kind of on my own personal research that I've been kind of growing into their beliefs and what they kind of believe in. So it also, I think it may stem from my trip to Cabo, Mexico, where I stayed at this place called Roxana's Wellness Heavenly Retreat. It was a mother-daughter expedition, so we went together after my spring finals last year. Very relaxing. Loved the trip. I think this is one of my favorite trips I've been on. Roxana is the kind lady who runs this with her family. It is a family-run bed and breakfast. So my mom and I went there for 1 week. And the place itself is, I feel like, the definition of what I want my house to look like in the future. Because, first of all, it was stunning. It was this big kind of yellow, almost palace-like, but very earthy palace on top of a hill overlooking the ocean in Cabo, or in between Cabo San Lucas and the neighboring town. And so we would wake up in the room. It was very beautifully decorated, so it was colorful. There were lots of plants around, and there were rock sculptures and like this little like rock circle as well. And the sunsets were beautiful. There were palm trees all around the property, and it was a gorgeous place. I can't even stress enough how much I'd like to go back. And they had a yoga studio there and a meditation room. So every morning I committed myself to wake up at 7 a.m. and we would meditate for an hour with Roxana, who is the owner of the place with her family. She's, I'm not sure how old she is. She's definitely grandmother age. And she has a very interesting family life as well, I got to know as we chatted a lot during the stay. She is actually from Vancouver, Canada, and is a Canadian, and her family moved over to Cabo to open up this retreat. And She was telling us a bunch of crazy stories. Some of the most interesting is that her uncle actually, there was an attempted murder by her own uncle. And she, at another point, was locked in her bedroom for many weeks at a time by her uncle and her father. It got a little crazy. I didn't really know how to respond at that point, but she said she found meditation in her life, and so that's what kind of kept her resilience to now. And she specifically focuses on Ayurvedic practices. So this retreat is very Ayurvedic centric. So this is an Indian holistic medicine system. So it is separate from religion, but it is very spiritual, and it has a lot of ties to Buddhism, which is where I kind of wanted to connect the story with. And they believe a lot about balancing the spirits in your body. So we talked a bit about the three core spirits that you have in the body as per the Ayurvedic practices, which are called dosas. So there's three dosas. There is the Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And I believe the Vata is kind of thin, slender, very willowy spirit, kind of associated with water. Pitta was, I'd say, kind of a fiery spirit. You're very competitive and go-getter. And then Kapha is more on the relaxing, kind of easygoing side. It was very loose definitions for these spirits. I didn't get fully into it, but it was very interesting to learn about this, and as well how much it kind of is intertwined with Buddhism. So did a lot of meditation on that trip. We did meditating, and then we had a tea time. We had meditated, went over to the kitchen, which over had this balcony and that overlooked the entire Cabo City. Incredible, absolutely incredible. We'd have a cup of tea and talk with Roxana, and that's how I found out about all the interesting life stories. And then we would go with Roxana's daughter, who actually studied at SFU. She studied criminology, but she got licensed and certified in as a yoga instructor. So she would lead my mom and I over to the yoga studio, and we would do some yoga for an hour. And that's kind of when I realized that yoga isn't for me. I like being mindful. I like trying to be more calm as a person, but yoga, I definitely remember not liking. It felt like the most painful hour of my life of just stretching. And especially that after yoga, there was the prospect of having breakfast. So did not enjoy the yoga part, but the meditation part, loved it so much. And so after the yoga, we would go and have breakfast, and it would be made by the family, or specifically the dad, who really liked to cook it. And these were some of the best breakfasts I've had. I'm just raving on about this trip. I loved the experience, and the family was so sweet, and I would love to go back. But that's another trip, another time. So I feel like this may be kind of the root, or some of the roots, of to why I've been exploring Buddhism and the ideas behind it. And I kind of wanted to chat about it and share some of the ideas of Buddhism on air tonight. I wouldn't call myself a Buddhist, but I definitely have been leaning into more Buddhist beliefs and learning about their practices. So why not share with all you all, and kind of go back and go into the history. I have a little summary here, not too much, but so Buddhism is a religion and a philosophy. And so the thing about Buddhism is that it differs from other religions, that it is non-theistic, meaning that it does not revolve around a worship of a god or multiple gods. It kind of more focuses on the teachings of the Buddha himself, which is, his name is Siddhartha Gautama, and he is not any special human being, but he is special in a way because he was one of the first to reach enlightenment from suffering, which is their main objective, which Buddhism believes that you go through life suffering, and they believe that there's a state called enlightenment or nirvana that you can reach to end this cycle of suffering, which I believe I'm trying to find. It's called samsara. So samsara is what they believe is our life cycle right now, that we go through life kind of suffering, we die, and then we rebirth and we repeat it, and we're constantly trapped in this system of samsara, and we can't really escape it. And that if you can follow these practices or what they call the teachings of Dharma, you can escape this cycle and reach this state called enlightenment. So specifically, the history behind it was and what we are taught is from the Buddha himself and his experience. So the Buddha Siddhartha Gautama, I believe it was before Christ, 500 BC. I'm not sure. I'm going to double check on the date, maybe false news, but it was before Christ, where it was his name. He was a prince from northern India, and he lived a very lavish life. He was very pampered, and his family provided everything, and he was kind of confined between the walls of the castle and royalty, and he wanted to explore the world, and he wanted to see how others were living and kind of go and find the meaning of life, so to say, and answer the question of why am I here, and all the questions that most of us will ponder at one point in our lives. So he went over, he started exploring, and I believe he did meet some people, kind of making this a loose story. He met some people, and he decided, I'm going to start meditating. And he went under this tree called, now they term it the Bodhi tree, and he meditated for 7 weeks to find the reason of why we are living, what is my purpose, what is all this for, kind of speech. I don't think I'd personally meditate for 7 weeks. I'm not sure how he ate or slept or drank any water, but details aside, he ended up finding the meaning of life and the meaning of everything after those 7 weeks, and he reached this phase of enlightenment or nirvana. And then he became the Buddha, and I believe there is, let me just check my notes. There are multiple Buddhas now. There are multiple people who reach enlightenment. I think there is now 11. But Buddhas all exist in the past, present, and future, which, kind of wrapping my head around, I don't really fully understand. But anyways, so Buddhism, kind of more into the practices, that was very my version of the history. Definitely go and research more if you're more interested. I didn't give all the details, but some of the teachings of Buddhism, which I'm more interested of just living itself, which they call, as I said before, Dharma, which include the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path. I didn't look into the Noble Eightfold Path too much, but I did look into the Four Noble Truths, which kind of are the four truths on why we are suffering, and kind of leads, and just the reasoning of why of everything, while the Noble Eightfold Path is how you can get to enlightenment. So I'll just give the summary of the Four Noble Truths. So there are four of them. The first one is called Truth of Suffering. Second one is called Truth of the Cause of Suffering. Third one is Truth of the End of Suffering. And the fourth is Truth of the Path to Free Us from Suffering. So the first one is called Truth of Suffering. And this is kind of just explaining that life itself is suffering. And they don't emphasize that this is actually labeled suffering. This is the English translation, and it's not completely accurate. So this kind of refers to better as incapable of satisfying or being stressful instead. So it also goes by dukkha, so that suffering is also because everything is temporary, and explains that everything is temporary, which, and being temporary, it can be enjoyable or not enjoyable. So it does not mean that life will be relentlessly awful, but it says that even happiness is temporary, which means that you will have suffering when without it, which is kind of sad. Like, even I think back to high school, and I remember sitting with my best friend and eating lunch together and with all my friends, and I miss that. And that's, I guess, in Buddhism terms, that's kind of a form of suffering, remembering back to days of happiness. Even though I have happiness in my life now, I remember that specific time. And so we will always all experience things where we maybe want to go back in the future, or we don't like where we are right now, and things like that. So that's the first truth. The second truth is the truth of the cause of suffering. And so this kind of explains why we have these sufferings. So suffering can be caused by what they say, craving. So I could say that I was kind of craving the old memories, but also by greed or thirst. So this can be birth, death, sickness, being separated from what you want. And these are all forms of suffering. And so it's also more easier to grasp as thinking that suffering is being greedy for something and wanting a fancy car and wanting to be seen as a very intelligent person, or being a very fashionable person, or just wanting things that maybe, like, that you can't control, like, oh, wanting other people to perceive you as smart, for example, or see you successful. And just wanting good looks, wanting a happy family, things like that. You just want things, and you're greedy for them, and you crave them. So that these are some of the reasons why humans, we do all suffer at some point in our lives, in some capacity. So there are three cravings within this cause of suffering that I kind of dive.